Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ajulila 148. Rupa Dandavat Kari Haridasa Kahila Haridase Mile Prabhu Rupa Alingala. When the Lord arrived, Rupa Goswami immediately offered his obeisances. Haridas informed the Lord, "This is Rupa Goswami offering your obeisances." And the Lord embraced him. Omigana Timidandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Laksu in Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Chaitanya Mano Gishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Sadati Sapadantikam Adadanastanandante Itam Yache Puna Puna Shrima Rupa Padam Boja Rulisham Janma Janmani Paragya Yubhakti Visham Payatnai Apayama Manadit Samandam Yatambhuriya Paradhuta Dhuti Shanatanastam Padamastyani Vansha Kopa Purudhyasya Vipashindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasude Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from the Sun Falls, Iva Sun Falls, up here near Hudson, where there is a burgeoning Vaishnav community. On Friday night, this very nice kirtan here from New York came up named Dave Dawson. I know him. He comes to some of my classes in New York City. Beautiful singer, very humble person. He did kirtan. And then yesterday evening in town, there must have been 40 people, I think, there at least. The kirtan is some young devotees were cool. He's born in the movement from England. Very, 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 very sweet people. Nice Vaishnavs, Vaishnavis. And they did kirtan. And then Raghunath's yoga teacher training, which is kind of like a bhakti program where people pay $3,000. I mean, they chant japa, they become devotees. It's just wonderful to just see the people and their spirit. And they come up every month for very intensive, like 10, 12 hours a day for 3 days. So it's very nice people. And I saw people from some of the other programs there previously. So this is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Amrita, nectar. And Amrita also means without death. And real nectar has to be without death. It has to be eternal, which is why Krishna is the appropriate object of worship, because he admits it, he's eternal. And if the object of worship is not eternal or not connected to the eternal, by understanding a person's connection to the eternal, then all objects of adoration are filled with duality. Their attachment leads to distress. because that which we value, we're going to lose. And when we have it, we're in fear that we will. So this is Amrita. And the eternal, the eternal not only goes on and on and on and on, but if you realize the eternal, it's nectar. And the process of realizing the eternal leads to immortality. It is an elixir, an eternal elixir, that worship of the divine that realize, that awakens the spirit of the soul within us, leads to eternity. It's bhakti. In the Banarda Bhakti Sutras, the third sutra says, and bhakti is eternal. And it says it's also nectar. It's the activity that doesn't end. I had my personal realization. We all have our times, our trials by fire. I was going through one of those trials where the world around me was moving too far out of my control for my comfort, and really threatening the false ego, that conceptual understanding, that false conception that I am the controller and enjoyer. And be the enjoyer if you can't control, because then things move outside of the realm of the way you want things to be. So in one of those moments, one of those days, I remember just taking shelter of the Holy Name and having that distinct realization that the activity which I am engaging in and who is engaging in that activity, the servant of Krishna, does not end with the body. And I had a certain relief. Because all anxiety is based on the foundation of false ego, the false conception. I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. That is the foundation on which all our fears and anxieties are built. If the foundation is the real ego, I am the servant of Krishna, then if the world moves in ways against our desire, it does not threaten the desire to serve, which can be done in any circumstance. Enjoyment cannot be done in any circumstance. Enjoyment can only be done in a specific circumstance where the world lines up with our desires. Service, because it's not based on our desire, it can be done in any circumstance, even when the world moves rapidly against our desire. And when you give up that desire to control and cultivate the desire to serve, you've finished your problems because you're no longer in the bodily concept of life. And this is what happens to people at death that are devotees. There's struggle, there's denial, or whatever the stages are. And at one point, they just surrender. This is Krishna's will. And that surrender alone solves the problem, because it's shifting them to the real self, the servant of Krishna. Which, when one realizes, one does not move by the vikara, the changes in the field of activity. So this is Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the, as Prabhupada so aptly explains in his introduction, it's the character of the life force in immortality, the character of the life force, which is what? Which is that chanting Hare Krishna, which is serving Krishna, which is being on that platform of the real you, the servant of Krishna. That identity is connected with the soul. When you do those activities, you're doing an activity that will not end with the body. So the character of the life force and immortality is this bhakti, this devotion, and the foundation of bhakti is this surrender to Krishna, where you take shelter in that conception and relationship with Krishna. You take shelter in that. And you feel sheltered in that. And you have faith in that shelter. That's where bhakti begins. Because it's only from that platform that true devotional sentiments can awaken in the heart. Sharanagata, positioning oneself in the service of Krishna, having faith in the object of service, which is Krishna. And when you have that position, then you're happy in the humble. That's the humble position, the servant. And you're happy in that position. And you have faith in activities that are favorable for the service of Krishna. And you have faith in rejecting those activities that are not favorable. And you feel maintained and protected at the very core of your being, which is the revelation of the self. So this Chaitanya Charitamrita is such a wonderful book because it's all about that. It's all about that consciousness. It's all about that consciousness. And as we're reading the Antya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is God wanting to achieve that consciousness of full shelter and full devotion in love of himself, Krishna, which is a relationship that we have eternally. And he's seeking it. He's seeking to experience it. Because he realizes that as the divine, his pleasure is not complete without experiencing love from the perspective of the devotee. And he wants the love of the topmost devotee at the height of her love, which is this mood of the Balamba Bhav, this mood of separation. He's coming to Puri to concentrate on that, to work on that. But to do that and do what he's doing, which is to stay in one place and just chant Hare Krishna all day, you need to become purified. Otherwise, otherwise the mind and the senses will be too disturbed. You have to have a foundation of Gurunishtha, surrender to the spiritual master, and compassion, and humility, and the new attitude of service. Anyway, the devotees are coming, but Rupa Goswami was delayed because his brother died. And he has a particular talent. He's a rare soul, and it's called a Covey, whose wordcraft is unparalleled. And that, of course, combined, or it means not deep knowledge of Sanskrit, gives one the ability to express the deepest sentiments in the most engaging way. And he's empowered because of his service attitude and therefore his realization of devotion. To use that word craft to express the eternal reality of devotion as expressed fully, mayachitara pasrayam, the full expression of that exchange of God and God's energies, which is prema or love to the highest degree. He's called to express that, express that, those sentiments of that eternal reality as perfectly expressed and perfectly composed in the Bhagavatam. So now his mind is on that because he has service. And service engages the mind because you want to give your best and you have to think about how to do it. So it's very, very absorbing. Just like Srila Prabhupada, his service was to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He's always thinking about it. And it was bhakti, it was devotion, it wasn't to himself. He wanted to make an offering to Krishna. I remember one time I was in Dallas, and there's a very small porch. Oh, it's only a few feet. It's like when you enter into, like, the steps from either side, and really it's not a porch. It's just the end of the steps that go into the... And somehow Prabhupada was there, and he was just sitting out there. I think he was walking there. And I walked by, and then the devotee was his servant, was saying, Prabhupada's thinking very, very deeply, of Krishna consciousness and how to spread Krishna consciousness. So when you have service, when you have a mission, then your mind becomes engaged, and you become purified. The success and failure of a mission is to communicate and inspire others in that mission is the success, and the failure to do so is the failure of that mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a mission, and his mission had to do about just tasting and distributing Rag Marg. A very, very elevated conception of love of Godhead, where you have that reverence, you have that respect, you have that realization and dedication, but it begins to become intimate. And God does not manifest his divinity. He manifests his personal nature, which you develop a relationship with. And that love is very, very powerful, because that love is not weakened by any distance, by any fear, any obligation or duty which comes with a relationship with a superior. And that's his mission. And Rupa Goswami has taken up the mission. And his service in the mission is to use his word craft to communicate and express these sentiments, to help people understand and nourish these sentiments. And it's a very, very intimate service for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because one has to have such love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one can enter into the depth of his heart and understand what's really going on. Or you have to have such an intimate relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opens his heart and lets you in. But somehow or other, this extraordinary personality, Srila Rupa Goswami, has this depth of understanding. And he's thinking how to write these incredible dramas which embody bhakti ras and which can enthuse that sentiment which is based on the Bhagavatam, which is based on the ultimate reality, into the hearts of those who read and watch these dramas in the right attitude, mind, and adhikari qualification. So he has this realization in Satyabhamapur, where Satyabhama tells, write a separate drama about me, which indicates to him really, that Krishna, God Krishna, is only fully manifest in Vrindavan. And that when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, it's not the full manifestation anymore. So though it's the same person, in one sense, it's the same person, God is manifest in a way which is not really fully Krishna. And therefore, this slight difference has to be highlighted. So he's understanding that. And that's what's in his mind right now. And now he goes to visit Haridas Thakur. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is visiting Haridas Thakur every day because he's an outcast. And there's a general respect for the culture, the social structure in one sense. Doesn't want to unnecessarily disturb it, even though it has its inebrities. Still, it does serve the basic culture, even if people are misunderstanding it a little in some way. It forms the basis of a functioning society that supports self-realization. So he's very, very humble, and Lord Chaitanya gives him a little place about 150 yards from the Jagannath Mandir. And Haridas Thakur stays there, and he's just chanting all day, and that's our goal. Not out of obligation or duty, but out of love. That's our goal. We love Krishna so much that we want to chant the name of whom we love so much. And because we do it with love, we can't get enough of it. Because the basic fact is, one can get enough of anything, but one can never get enough of love. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to see Haridas Thakur, which is also kind of a foundational point here, which actually runs through Krishna consciousness, that our separation from God is not distance physically, and it's not social status. That's so important in bhakti. It's not social status. Bhakti is universal. It's not species. Bhakti is universal. Nazi. He's Muslim. He's an outcast. But he's a great Vaishnav. Have to be a little careful. Equating the externals with devotion. Obviously, there's a correlation, but it's not an absolute correlation. The number of rounds one does does not in itself make one advance. The number of years one has been in the movement does not itself make one advance. Who your guru is does not in itself make self one advance. What makes one advance is one's love for Krishna. I'm seeing, I'm experiencing some new people coming. And I see sometimes they have a deep love for Krishna. It's not sentimental. Probably have not yet understood all the regulative principles. They have a deep love for Krishna. It has to be respected. And when that deep love for Krishna matures, then one becomes detached from everything. That's why Raghunuga Bhakti is not cheap. There's not an absolute correlation of detachment to enter into it, but certainly when one gets it, one is detached. From sinful activity. So the Lord arrives, Rupa Goswami pays his obeisances. Evidently, when someone pays his obeisances, you don't always know who he is. Hari Das Thakur says, this is Rupa Goswami. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraces him because it is loving relationship. That's the fundamental principle of Sadhu Sangha. There's three aspects. We're looking for advanced association. It even in Bhakti Sandarbha, it describes when one's guru leaves, what should one do? And it says that one should find Sadhu Sangha, and it gives the same three qualities of Sadhu Sangha. That's described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu when the Sadhu Sangha is one of the most five most potent items of devotional service is discussed. And what are those qualities? Someone must be more advanced. That's good Sadhu Sangha. They must be like-minded. The same general lines of devotion. And sneha, there must be affection. Because we're trying to develop loving relationship with Krishna. And we do that through our loving relationships with the Vaishnavas and certainly the advanced Vaishnavas. Hari dasa rupe loy prabhu vasila ekrishnane kushala prashna ishta goshti kaila kata kshane. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then sat down with Hari Das and Rupa. They inquired from one another about auspicious news and then continued to talk together. For some time. Kaila Kata Shane continued for some time. Kushala Prashna. Very pleasing. The questions were about very pleasing subjects. It wasn't the gossip and who's had problems in spiritual life and who you want to criticize. They were talking about Krishna. They were talking about self-realization and the object of self-realization. And this is called, in the translation, Ishta Goshti. Goshti means together. Ishta means about what you value. You're meeting together about what you value. Again, everything can be done on different platforms. You can live your life from the platform of false ego and have your discussions with others based on that identity. I know an old friend visited me when I was in New York, a high school friend. And he was telling me how he met another high school friend and they went back to our old neighborhood. And I was just not interested. He picked up on it. I didn't say anything. Not that interested. I was happy that I wasn't interested. So it's not ishtagoshti. It's not talking together about things that really have value. There's a room for social interaction. That's fine. That's part of our human development. The real focus, the ultimate focus, has to be ishta, something that's really desired. And that's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sanaptanera varta yabe goshaini puchila upakahi tare shange deka nahi haila. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired about Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami replied, I did not meet him. So this is Ishtagoshti, talking about great souls. Because when you talk about great souls, you're talking about Krishna. Ami Ganga Pate Ailana Tino Raja Pate Ate Eva Amara Teka Nahila Tanra Shate. I came by the path on the bank of the Ganges, whereas Sanatana Goswami came by the public road. Therefore, we did not meet. In Prayag, I heard that he had already gone to Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami next informed the Lord about the death of Anupam. That's his younger brother and the father of Jiva Goswami. Very interesting. You know, somehow or other they function. You know, how they hear, they meet someone and they heard about someone. It's not like within 2 minutes, what do they say, the message goes viral and everything is known. That's the demand of the day. That everything is known immediately. Can you imagine writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita as if Rupa and Sanatan had Facebook pages? I'd be pretty ecstatic, actually. I just saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it doesn't add to their life. News just comes a little bit later in a more anticipatory way, and then they hear, and it has more impact. Did you hear Lord Chaitanya just met Prakasananda Saraswati Thakur? Did you hear what happened? He converted him to, you know, he whatever it is. Did you hear he met, so he danced in the Jarakanda forest? It's not that their life was lacking news. It took a little more time, but when they heard it, it was treasured, valued, and had more impact. Upataha vasaidya goshani chalia gosanira shange bhakta upare malila. After allotting residential quarters there to Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, and all of the Lord's personal associates met Srila Rupa Goswami. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking to him. He allots residential quarters. Probably was very simple. It somehow wasn't that expensive. And then all the personal associates, they meet Rupa Goswami. And this is a treat. Rupa Goswami, this is a treat for them, because what is valued most is Sangha. Those advanced devotees who have the same mind and have relationship and have something to give in their heart. That's what people value, because that type of association can change one's life. So they're eager for that. Aradina Mahaprabhu Shabe Bhakti Lai Rupe Malaya Shavaya Kripata Karya. On the next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again met Rupa Goswami. And with great mercy, the Lord introduced him to all the devotees. So, Kripa Kakariya Shavaya, to all of them, he's showing his mercy. So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. That's mercy. You introduce someone to a great Vaishnava, that's mercy. That's the greatest mercy you can give to someone. Sabara charana rupa karila vandana vipakale rupe shabe karila alingana. Sri Rupa Goswami offered his obeisances unto the lotus feet of them all, and all the devotees, by their mercy, embraced him. Kripa Kari, Kordila Vandana, they offered, Rupa Goswami offered them all prayers to their charana, to their lotus feet. So about all the devotees, this is Vaishnava. And not just mechanically. He felt it. He saw Krishna in them. He bowed down. He offered respects. He put him in his, and he put himself in the humble position so that he can experience their hearts. You can't experience someone's heart without some humility. And then the devotees gave him mercy. One by one, they all just embraced him. Advaita Nityananda Tamara Dui Jane Prabhu Paye Rupe Kripa Kari Paya Mane. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Advaitacharya Nityananda, you should both show your mercy wholeheartedly to Rupa Goswami. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy to Rupa Goswami. He's introducing him to the devotees. And asking those devotees to give him mercy. What does it mean to give someone mercy? Kripa. It means you want to do good. It means you're just trying to help the person. You're trying to do good. You're trying to give the person. You don't have any expectations. Not you come into a car, to buy a car in some car dealership. And then the owner of the dealership says to one of the salesmen, Betty and John are coming in. Please show them mercy. She doesn't go, here, take the car. It's your car. I'm not charging anything to you. No. Mercy means to give what you have out of your compassion, out of your kindness, out of your love, without any expectation in return, just for the benefit of the other person. So if you have knowledge, then you may give that. If you have love, you may give that. They're seniors. These are the seniors. Show him your mercy. Just give them your sangha. Open your heart to them. I learned that in India, that as much as possible, a sadhu should be open. He should try to make himself available, if practically possible. One more verse and then we'll stop. Toma duhada kripate inhara hoi tache shokte. Yate divarite arena krishna rasa bhakti. May Rupa Goswami, by your mercy, become so powerful that he will be able to describe the transcendental mellows of devotional service. Vivarite, to describe Krishna Rasa Bhakti. He'll be able to describe this. By your mercy, he will be able to realize, because without realizing it, you can't describe it. And Lord Chaitanya became the object of affection to those devotees. So many blessings came. Because what they had became available to him. Because they were merciful. They were open-hearted. And they gave him his sangha. Any questions? Any comments? Anybody like to say hello? First, any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Rangi.
Yeah, I am. I'd just like you to please expand on your statement when you said that by being humble, that inspires a person to give you his heart. You know, in other words, can you elaborate on what you mean by humble, what that attitude looks like, and why that attitude inspires a person to give their heart?
Gail was so in tune that as I was saying it, I knew you were going to ask the question.
Aww.
I did.
Aww.
I did.
That's
as I was saying it. No, I do. I know when you're going to ask the questions, because I know when things are not absolutely 100% clear when I say that. So I know exactly when. And I'm trying to go back to the time where I said it, you know, because I'm thinking certain things at that time, and sometimes I don't always remember them.
Oh, I think Rupa Goswami.
No, I'll get something in terms of, yeah. Well, I said something. Unless you're humble, you can't really get what's in someone's heart. Yeah. Humility means that you're putting yourself in a position of dependence. And there's a certain sense of dependence when you're trying to get something from someone, and especially what's in that person's heart. And specifically, you know, their depth of realization and their depth of understanding. And that's putting oneself in a mood of service, because you're receiving something from above. What comes from a person who is in a superior position, whatever their love for you is called anugraha in Sanskrit. It's called mercy. Humility naturally attracts mercy. Or without the, if you're not humble, how can you? You won't experience the mercy. Because really, you're valuing something. You're getting something of value, and the way to value it is to understand that you don't deserve it. Then you can really appreciate what you get. So it takes a general conception of humility. You have to be in a position of service. You have to be in a position of respect. Respect goes up and mercy comes down. So respect is born of humility. There's no humility, there's no respect. So it's a relationship, and relationship is something that flows back and forth. But to flow back and forth, both sides of the relationship have to agree what that relationship is. And if you're dealing with someone who is superior, then who has more than you, and you feel that way, or they have something within them that you value, then there has to be a relationship for it to come out. What's the relationship? Respect flows upwards, and humility and mercy flows downwards. So it's entering into a relationship. And the proper relationship with anyone you want to learn from, even if it's someone who's equal. Let's say there's someone who's equal, but they have something in their heart and something in their understanding that you want. Then you have to be respectful. At least in that exchange. Even if there's someone junior for me, and I want to learn something from them. It may, you know, whatever it is. It may be how to put more kirtans on my iPhone. I'm technologically challenged in a very, very severe way. Just I can't figure out. I had an incredibly. I'll show you how technologically challenged I am. I had to buy an airline ticket yesterday. And the only way I could buy the airline ticket was online. I tried to do it to the travel agent. They say, we don't deal with domestic. And I needed to get this price. So it was the first time in my life that I bought something online with my credit card. The first time in my life I did that. And I screwed it up so badly that I winded up purchasing 3 tickets. when I saw the price go up there, you know, that it was 3 times the cost of the ticket, because somehow or other, I went to check something and it wound up registering 3 times. And every time I tried to correct it, it added on something. So I had to call them up and I had to get the person online and they had to do it for me. But I kind of felt a great satisfaction, like I'd really achieved something. Because I couldn't envision even how you do it. So even when someone comes in to do something simple on my computer, I show them great respect that they're giving me mercy. I couldn't believe I purchased 3 tickets. And it was confusing the computer so much because it was the same person. And technologically, you can only sit in one seat. So the computer was like, you know, and then I tried to just shut it down and go down again. And then every time I would go on, I would be adding another ticket to the same thing. So, and then I wondered, it was just like, now, was I finally entering into the material world now? As I'm getting older, I'm getting more entangled. Because I couldn't even figure it out. You know, how do you give someone your credit card information without them just putting whatever they want on it? So I never could figure out how it worked. Anyway, enough of that. But that's the answer to your question, Gail. Mm-hmm. Okay, Gail?
Well, you seem to equate this dependence with service a couple of times you did.
Well, you know, these words have broad meanings. Well, dependence. Well, you're valuing someone else's desire. I mean, what is service? You're valuing the desire of someone else. So that's a kind of dependence. You're valuing something. That in bhakti, you treasure service. That's what you value, service. So, in that sense, your dependence means you're not independent. You are dependent. You're not complete without that service. And service means that you have the person who you are serving has to allow that, has to give that service. So it is dependent, because that's what you value. You can't do it without the person, so how can you not be dependent? And you value that. You relish that. You value it. The highest thing is that you can give me your service. Okay?
I think so. Anyway, maybe she'll be continued.
Thank you, Gail. Rungi. Anybody else like to ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, only a small question. This is Nanda Dula. Please, Mahamala, listen to this.
You don't have to say your name. Your sweet voice is immediately recognized.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your blessing. My question is that you mentioned the bhakti is eternal. Then how come we know we are bereft of bhakti? If it is eternal, it's part of us.
We don't realize.
What's that?
You mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah, no, I understand your question. That someone else said. No, I understood.
Oh, it was me. I said, we have it, but we just don't realize it.
Okay. Gail is going to, Garungi is going to give the class now. It's great. Thank you. She's coming up. That's so nice. That's one reason. It's kind of like Prabhupada gave the concept of a child walking. That's the walking capacities of the child, even if it's not manifest. And the other is, I mean, there's several ways to look at it. The other way to look at it is, in every other process or path, right, if you do the process of Gyan, you perform renunciation to get moksha. But when you get moksha, you no longer practice Gyan. So in that sense, the process stops once you achieve the goal. But in the process of bhakti, you are practicing bhakti, and the goal is bhakti. So in that sense, it never ends, and bhakti is causeless. You're not doing bhakti for anything else outside of itself. So in that sense, bhakti is eternal. The other way that bhakti is eternal, and if you look at that verse, Nitya Siddha, right? You quote that very often. So either you take it that it's eternally in the soul, or you take it that it's an energy of God that's eternally manifest. Either way, it's always existing. But when we say bhakti is eternal, what we mean is it's a path, right, whose goal is the same as the means. And no other path has that. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to ask a question or say hello? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, oh yeah. Thank you. I always envision you're listening because I know you're always there.
I know I'm going to
anybody?
Listen.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hey, Bill Maharaj. Thank you for class this morning.
Thank you, Mother and Johnny.
And thank you. Keep up your good work. Krishna bless you.
You're so kind. Thank you. Very nice. It's so nice that people are regularly hearing. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Just as I thought, is Carl and Shella there? Thank you. So, Sonar's voice came. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hello. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hey, Henry, thank you. Our, I don't know what you call it, our Sangha community. It's nice to hear everybody from different places. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Bhav, Maharaj.
Shasta, are you okay?
Hanging in there. Thank you, Maharaj.
Did you get that thing treated yet, or when is that?
No, I'm still waiting.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end now. Vanshakalpa Tadubhya Shakasasindubhya Vichra Patitanam Pavati.